Yeah, I think we should try that. I'll show up at your house, stick a mic in your face. We'll do some reverse caroling. How about that? Hey, thanks for choosing to spend a portion of your holiday season with us. This is week two of our Christmas celebration because we figured, you know, Christmas starts somewhere right around Halloween now, so we're not going to fight it this year. We're just going to celebrate all month long. And we're talking about Christmas carols, and each week we're celebrating. And by the way, next week is going to be amazing. Or when we look at the carol, Away in a Manger. All right, you do not want to miss that message next Sunday. It's going to be off the charts. It's going to be off the chain. It's going to be legitimate, as the young people say. So bring your boyfriend, bring your girlfriend, bring your husband, your wife, your teenagers. Bring somebody with you next Sunday. But today we're going to talk about the great carol, O Come All Ye Faithful. All right, so check this out. Most of us love Christmas. Many of us love everything about Christmas. I mean, there's a few of us that, you know, are Scrooges, but most of us love Christmas, and we love the lights, and we love the gift-giving, and we love the food, and we love the music. We love pretty much everything about Christmas except for the traffic and the parking and the crowds at the mall. But one of the things that most of us really love about Christmas is the music. We love Christmas carols and Christmas songs. And here's what I know about Christmas music. When I was a kid, I didn't really think about what the songs meant. I loved the songs. I loved to sing the songs. I knew that many of them were about the birth of my Savior, Jesus Christ. And I loved them, and I loved to sing them. And even as an adult, I love the music, and I listen to it in my car, and I sing along, and when you look over on your way to the mall this week, and you see that guy like crazily singing in his car, that will be me, and I love to come to church and sing the songs, and I think for many of us, the music part, it's just something that we did, it's just something that we do, you know, it's Christmas time, sing the songs, and I remember at one point that it really hit me. That this Christmas song is really a worship song. It's not just a nice song, and it's not just a Christmas song, but this is a worship song. We're singing worship and praise to God. We're singing worship and praise to our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is a worship song. And so one of the things that I want us to do during this series is to begin to focus on the lyrics of some of these carols. And when we focus on the lyrics, the songs become worship songs. They become much more than just songs that we sing as part of the season, as part of the festivities. And I do. I want them to become an opportunity. I want them to be a venue. I want them to be a vehicle for worship. I want us to hear these songs anew. I want us to hear something new. From this day on, when you hear, O Come All Ye Faithful, or when you sing, O Come All Ye Faithful, I want you to hear and experience something new. I want us to see the truth of these lyrics that so many times get lost in the melody and the hoopla and the familiar. So today, O Come All Ye Faithful. O Come All Ye Faithful was written originally in Latin. Its title was Adestus Fidelis, and John Francis Wade, who was a hymn writer in the 18th century, he wrote it, and then a guy named Frederick Oakley translated it into English in 1841, and we've been singing it pretty much ever since here in America for almost, you know, two centuries. It's a carol that has stood the test of time. I know that many of you love this carol. You enjoyed singing it this morning, and I know that some of you sang it as a song of worship this morning. And here's the thing about this great song. If you really look at the words, if you really process the lyrics, they can be daunting, even overwhelming. I mean, just look at the first line. O come all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. That line really gets to me because many times, especially during the Christmas season, I can feel anything but faithful, joyful, and triumphant. In fact, many times we can feel defeated and depressed and doubtful. Just some truth, okay? The holidays can wear us down. The holidays can beat us down. And we may think, you know, I'm not the one who's supposed to come because I'm not that faithful. I'm not that joyful. I'm certainly not feeling triumphant right now. I do not feel triumphant. And perhaps we don't feel faithful. And we don't feel faithful because we know that God called us to do something and turns out it was going to be tough, turns out it was going to be difficult. And we begin to doubt and we begin to question God. God, is this really what you want me to do? Are you really calling me to this? And we begin to struggle in our faith. Or maybe we lose a little faith because we go through a difficult situation. We go through a trial or a difficulty and we begin to question God and we begin to question ourselves. A little bit of doubt creeps in, not feeling that faithful. Maybe we really struggle with this triumphant thing. Because we don't feel victorious. We don't feel triumphant. Maybe we feel a little bit defeated. I mean, maybe we look at our finances and we think, well, this is not really where I thought I would be at this stage of my life. Or maybe it's your marriage. I mean, after 10, 15, 20 years, you thought you'd be in a different place in your relationship. Your marriage is not what you thought it would be. And you wonder how you even got where you are. You feel defeated. Maybe it's your kids. I mean, perhaps the heavy task of parenting is wearing you down, and you're just not feeling very victorious in this parenting thing. Maybe it's joy. Maybe all of the joy has leaked out of your life. I mean, it could just be me, but it seems like the joy can get sucked out of a room very quickly. We want to live with joy during the season, but there's so much that can knock the joy right out of you. Now, just truth, honest confession for me today, okay? Shopping is not my favorite thing. Not my favorite thing, but it can be a joyous experience. I mean, because you're looking for the perfect gift for that special someone. I can find joy in that. I can have fun with that. I can, you know, get out there and be filled with joy and do the shopping thing, even though it's not my favorite thing. So many times this perfect gift for this special someone, the whole experience turns into this trial and this tribulation. Let me just tell you how shopping can be more joyous for you this year. Don't get in line behind me. I promise you, your shopping experience will be better if you don't get in the checkout line behind me. If you see me in the store, just go, "Hey, Pastor Craig, good to see you, man. Merry Christmas. I'm over here. I'm in this line over here." Because if you get in line behind me, there is going to be a problem with the register. I mean, if you get in line behind me, the register tape is going to run out. When you get in line behind me, you'll see the people taking their receipt and that pink stripe will be on it. You're like, uh-oh, she's about to run out of tape. He's about to run out of tape. Different line. But just see me and you'll know, just get in another line. If you get in line behind me, there's going to be a problem with somebody's debit or credit card. It's just a fact. Or the person in front of me is going to have picked up an item without a tag or without a barcode on it. I'm telling you, it happened to me this week. If you get in line behind me, the person in the front of the line is going to write a check. How many of you remember what those are? Remember what a check is? This is the truth. Two times this week, somebody in my line wrote a check. And nobody even writes checks anymore. If you get in line behind me, there's going to be a lady who knows she has a coupon somewhere in that black hole she calls a purse. I know it's in here somewhere. And she's going to turn to her husband and say, "Honey, did I give it to you?" And he's going to look at her like, "Seriously?" Do I sound like I'm filled with joy? I'm just here to help. If you see me in the store, get in another checkout line. And the honest truth is, it doesn't take much to drain my joy. It only takes somebody writing a check. And see, that's just a simple example. There's so much more that's much more serious, that's much more worrisome. And there are things that can steal our joy, and they can rob us of our joy. And we find ourselves not really feeling the joy in this most joyous of seasons. So see, I can look at this song, "O Come All Ye Faithful," and I can look at that first line and then wonder, whom is Jesus calling? The faithful, the joyful, triumphant? Whom is he calling? See, I have some good news for us today, though. Jesus does not initially call the faithful and the joyful and the triumphant. In fact, I want us to see whom Jesus calls. Jesus calls the weary and the burdened. He doesn't begin by calling the faithful and the joyful and the triumphant. He begins by calling the weary and the burdened. The scripture records this in Matthew 11:28. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are faithful, triumphant, joyful. No, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Jesus calls the weary and the burdened. And first of all, Jesus calls not the faithful, not the joyful, not the triumphant, but the weary and the burdened. And then Jesus calls the sinners. Jesus calls sinners. He calls the weary and the heavy burdened, and then he calls sinners. The scripture records in Matthew 9, when Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do." And then he added, "Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." I've come to call sinners. I've come to call the weary and the burdened, and I've come to call sinners, Jesus would say. And we could rewrite the carol. "O come all ye sinners. O come all ye weary and carrying heavy burdens. Come to Bethlehem. Come to Jesus." And here's the great thing. When you come to Jesus, he doesn't leave you weary and burdened and in your sin. He doesn't just leave you there. Jesus doesn't leave us to carry our burdens alone. Jesus doesn't leave us weary. Jesus doesn't leave us in our sin. See, when we realize that we need Jesus, when we've tried everything else and we realize that our own efforts are not working for us, and we turn to Jesus and we call on Jesus, something beautiful happens. The Apostle Paul wrote about it in 2 Corinthians. He says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. Anyone who comes to Christ gets a fresh start. Listen, some of you were meant to hear that today. God wants you to hear and understand that you can become a new person in Jesus Christ. You can get a new life. You can get a fresh start. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And some of you are thinking, well, what does that even mean? If Jesus doesn't leave me where I am, then where does he take me? What does Jesus help me become? What is this new life? What does it look like? What does it feel like? And those are great questions. And I want to talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about what Jesus helps us become. First of all, Jesus helps me become more faithful. He helps me become more faithful. Scripture tells us how it works in Hebrews 12. We do this, we grow in faith by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. So Jesus literally fills us with faith. He initiates, he starts, he begins our faith. And then he goes about perfecting or growing or maturing our faith. And how exactly does Jesus perfect our faith? Paul writes in Romans 10:17, so faith comes from hearing. That is, hearing the good news about Christ. Hearing God's word. Hearing about Christ and his death and his resurrection. That builds our faith. And listen, you can never have enough of God's word in your life. You can never hear God's word enough. You can never have enough Bible in your life. That's how God speaks to us. That's how Jesus builds our faith, through his word. Listen, some of you are going through some stuff. And it's not like there's a good time to go through tough times, but it's extra tough during the holidays. Some of you are experiencing your first Christmas without a loved one. Some of you are walking with a loved one through a severe illness. Some of you have jobs that are tenuous. And you wonder, why am I going through this? Why am I going through this during the holidays? It's no fun. Why is this happening now? You know, I don't know why. I don't know why you're going through it. And I don't know why you're going through it now. But I know that God has something to say to you. God has something to say to you. This is what God said to Israel. This is what he says to his people, Isaiah 43. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up, and the flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. When you've given your life to Jesus Christ, and you become a child of God, and you become this new person, this new creation, you feel those words. You can live with those words. And these words build your faith. In the process of hearing God's word or reading God's word, our faith is built. As the Bible gets in us, as it permeates our being, Jesus helps us to become more faithful. Here's another thing. Jesus helps me be more joyful. Here's some truth for you today. You may not have ever thought about it this way before. It is God's will for you to be joyful. It is literally God's will for you to be joyful. Here's how I know this. The Apostle Paul wrote this in Galatians. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness and joy, gentleness and self-control, and there's no law against these things. Nobody's got a problem with any of these things. They're good. It is God's will for us to be joyful. When we give our lives to Jesus, he fills us with the Holy Spirit. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it produces joy in our lives. It's like this. An apple tree produces apples. An apple tree doesn't have to try to produce apples. An apple tree can't make more or make fewer apples by trying harder. It's just an apple tree, and it makes apples. And it's the same with joy and us. When we receive Christ, we're filled with the Spirit. And Spirit-filled people are joyful people. Joy comes from a right relationship with God. It's not something that we can produce by simply trying harder. When we give our lives to Jesus Christ, we become a new person. And God puts his Spirit in us, and it's the same Spirit, by the way, that raised Christ from the dead. He puts his Spirit in us, and a fruit of that Spirit, one thing that is naturally produced by the Spirit of God, is joy. And listen, we must understand this. Joy and happiness are worlds apart. Joy and happiness are worlds apart. It's like this. Happiness depends on happenings, but joy depends on Jesus. Happiness depends on what's happening around me right now, but joy comes from Jesus. That comes from way down deep. Joy is not dependent on what's happening around me. Joy comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. It comes from a right relationship with God. Joy depends on Jesus. In fact, we see this in the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. We're going to start reading in verse 8. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. And they were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." See, Jesus brings joy. "The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." A Savior had been born, and that brings great joy. Jesus Christ had come, and that brings great joy. When Jesus Christ comes to your life and the Holy Spirit fills you, it brings joy to your life. Joy depends on Jesus. Jesus can help me be more faithful, and he can help me be more joyful, and Jesus helps me be more triumphant. All right, here's our deal. To feel triumphant, to feel victorious, we need another person in our life. To really live in triumph, we need somebody to stand with us. We need somebody to fight for us. We need somebody to have our back. And here's the awesome thing about following Jesus. God has our back. It is God who has our back. And I want you to see this. This is a prophecy that was written by Isaiah hundreds of years before Jesus' birth. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And his government and its peace will never end. And he will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. And the passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen." That sounds like triumph. That sounds like victory. That prophecy is predicting that this very child that we find in this manger scene, the baby that was laid in that feeding trough, is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And he is the author of life. And he is the Prince of Peace. And he is the initiator and perfecter of our faith. And he is the creator. He literally spoke everything into existence. And he is the bread of life. And he is our salvation. And he is born the King of Angels. And we come to adore him, Christ the Lord. That is triumphant. That is victory. Jesus fights for us. God has our back. And folks, we must understand whom it is that fights for us. It is Jesus Christ, that baby that was laid in that manger. We must understand this. And my prayer is that we would hear this ringing through these lyrics. "Oh, come all ye faithful." Not because we are, but because he is. "Oh, come all ye faithful. Joyful and triumphant. Come to Bethlehem and see, born the King of Angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. For he is Christ the Lord." Would you pray with me? Father, so many times we sing these songs and we sing these lyrics and they pass over our lips, come out of our mouth, and we maybe don't even recognize who it is that's behind them. And my prayer today, Father, is that you would make us more faithful. That as we turn to Jesus Christ, that he would make us more faithful. That he would continue to initiate and grow and perfect our faith. And we pray, Father, that you would fill us with your Spirit. And we know, Father, that when we're filled with your Spirit, joy comes right along with that. And Father, we believe today in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we believe in the triumph and victory that he brings to our lives and that he will bring to this world someday. And I pray, Father, that you would change each one of us, that you would make us new today, that you would grow us in all of these things today. And Father, I pray if there's one here today who's not given their life to Christ, I pray that you would make it so clear to them today that, yeah, they are a sinner, that they've tried to do it their own way and they've come up short, and that they need Jesus Christ. Help them understand that Jesus came to die on the cross to pay the penalty for their sin and then rose again to give them an abundant life. And I pray, Father, that many would turn to Jesus for salvation today. And I pray, Father, that each one of us, as we leave this place today, when we hear, O come, all ye faithful, that our hearts, our souls, our minds would be turned to him who is faithful above all others. And we pray in his name, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day. I'll see you next Sunday.